All right, this is the Cool Shit Podcast. Each week, we round up the latest cool shit, helping us think different and keep inspired. What makes it in, what gets left out, and what gets challenged. Is it cool? Is it shit?
Or does it cross the magic threshold and come bona fide, certified cool shit?
Welcome to the editor's meeting.
Welcome to the Cool Shit Podcast. My name is Gareth Carter. We've had a little bit of a break, haven't we, Gina? I left you in charge.
I got left
and what
in
happened?
Charge.
Nothing. That's what happened.
That is me summed up. No, we have had a break. We decided to change the format of things because one of those changes is doing a podcast fortnightly.
Because we can't be arsed.
No.
We're streamlining.
It's quality over quantity.
That's exactly it. We're just going to have a lot more to discuss, let the stories build over a couple of weeks before bringing them to the table. But 2 weeks has actually passed because the wild boy, aka the little chief, aka the little chef, was in America. I mean, there can't really be a podcast about James, so...
The most right of America.
You ain't right, you're wrong, my friend. I went to the deep south. Deep
Did
south.
You find an affinity south with the views and the politics? Did you come back with a gun?
No, I just didn't ask about the politics.
Just the gumbo.
Yeah, it's so true, you don't ask about politics. I spent a bit of time in the southern states last year, and people are really nice, aren't they?
So friendly.
So friendly,
I said this to my mum, actually. I said, I think you want, like, a Republican Christian as your neighbour. You don't want some right-on liberal. You want someone who worships God.
That's why Austin's such a cool city, because it's got like a load of creative people, but because it's a right-wing state, it's really clean, the roads are nice, everything runs like clockwork. It's a lot to be said about those right-wing
people,
folk.
Communities. Well, James, I'm glad you had a nice experience in America.
Thank you.
And I'm glad you're back, because we can get the podcast back on track.
Yeah, although I've got a bone to pick with Gareth first, actually.
Which is what?
Okay, go
I on. Said to you very specifically, keep an eye on Philip Schofield and make sure he doesn't do anything dumb. I'll come back and I'm like, what's going on? I turned on this morning and he's not there.
Do you know what? It's funny, because we work in a television centre and I was downstairs making a call to someone's agent, and right in the middle of that call, Philip Schofield marched out because he was trying to get to the other side of the outdoor area where he was doing a live link.
Okay.
And he was an absolute shit. He was shouting at the producers, going, this isn't right, blah, blah. And I was like, fucking
you need to tell
Philip.
That story to the Mail while he's still think, a hot topic.
It's out there now, isn't it?
I don't think that would be the thing that buries him. It was very short-tempered.
So we have had a break, and we are slightly tweaking the format. What we're going to do is we've got a new section where we are going to have a look at some of the most interesting cultural news over the last 2 weeks that we think is affecting the creative industries and making impact on the way that we're going to be seeing things turn up. It's called Culture Cover. We're not
for
sure
now,
about the name.
For now,
TBC on the name. Yeah. I like the name. Chris, do you
like
the
it.
Name?
I think it rolls off the tongue.
Oh, sorry, everyone. Chris is here.
Hi.
I forgot to say.
Yeah, our new format is there is no format. It's just a mess.
You know what? Chris had to be on this because whilst James was away, he wrote the last two Cool Shit newsletters.
Yeah, well done, Chris.
They were
thank
amazing.
You. Thank you.
Very good.
So
very good.
It only makes sense that Chris is welcoming James back and handing the reins back over by being on the podcast.
So anyway, this is the editorial meeting. We will have stories that we'll be discussing to see if they go into this week's Cool Shit newsletter. But starting with Culture Cover, James, what you got?
Well, what we're doing, you said we're looking at what's the biggest news right at the moment. So we're going to start by looking at something that actually happened last week and was already in Cool Shit. The Apple Vision Pro were not released, but unveiled at Apple's annual big conference.
The goggles.
The goggles.
The goggles.
The goggles that everyone's been waiting for. They put out this 10-minute video showing all of the various applications of these goggles.
So did everyone watch the presentation video?
Yeah, it was really weird and Black Mirror vibes. It looked like this like really weird, seemingly perfect house and these really attractive people, and they've got these goggles and it just makes their life amazing.
You mean like an advert?
No, you know what I mean, though.
You felt unsettled by the perfect nature.
I don't know. It was like they were trying to sell me something.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, actually, maybe you're right. It was what you'd imagine a really traditional advert to be. It's selling you a dream, almost.
I think what you're touching upon is it all looks like it was shot in a boutique hotel, and the people
didn't look lived in, did it?
It didn't look lived in. No, but it's the nature of what is happening that perhaps feels unsettling. Mm-hmm. However, Apple are presenting it to us in a way that is trying to hold our hand through something we've kind of seen coming for a very long time. There's a very real fear, isn't it, that we are going to disappear into some digital hole where we've got the internet in our eyes, and it's augmented over the reality that we're seeing. And there's questions about, you know, will we become more isolated because of this? Are we going to spend time in a world that isn't real and start to lose our sense of real life, right? However, I've watched it and I was like, wow, okay, This has got some really cool features on it.
It makes you want to try it, right?
Yeah.
I thought the video itself was actually great because it very methodically went through all the various scenarios in which they could be used. Because you might be sitting there thinking, oh, what exactly would I use it for? It goes through all these things like reliving memories. It goes through photos, apps, watching a film. And then one that stuck out to me was on a flight, because obviously I was on a flight recently. And either you got the choice of the poxy little TV with a limited selection of films, or you've got to like bring your own laptop or iPad and download something, and then you're craning your neck down the whole time. Whereas with this, you just put your goggles on, you just watch it right in front of you, which
so
would be
because you
great.
Can augment over reality. This is where it becomes really interesting. And I think you said Black Mirror. There is a lot of certainly that promo film that felt very Black Mirror to me and things that we've seen. But you can block out the surroundings if you choose to. So you could say, I want my room to look like space. I'm going to watch a movie in the center of this celestial backdrop. Mm-hmm. You can disappear into essentially another world. Watching TV on this thing would be sick. It looks amazing. You can literally make the screen as big as your room. I think formats are going to change because you can curve it around yourself. Straight away, I'm thinking, wow, that expands what you're interacting with in the frame. You know, when you watch something like Avatar and it's in 3D, there's a lot more going on because your eyes now flicker around the screen. Mm-hmm. We're very used to looking at a frame and looking at the action that is being clearly presented to us, the face that is the protagonist or the thing that the filmmaker wants us to look at. But the bigger you get, the more opportunity you have to make those worlds feel a little bit more real and a little bit more tangible, I guess.
Yeah, you're in it rather than just looking at it. And I think you're right, like, it will change the specs of content. Like, for example, if you make some content for a client, they might need certain sizes for this platform or that platform. You'd imagine it potentially wouldn't be that long before, okay, now we need one that's to these specifications because it's got to incorporate almost like a 360 view, essentially. And I think the point that you made was interesting because the way it's been presented previously is like you've got AR and you've got VR, whereas with this, you can kind of choose a bit of a spectrum. So it can either be like your phone's in front of you and you just select apps, which is like the augmented reality, which I think is what at the moment we feel a little bit more comfortable with. Like the idea of putting on the full headset unless you really want to like lock in, like it's a little bit daunting. Say for example, like the idea of people like having to lock in some different world while at work, like, I wouldn't want to put a full headset on and be elsewhere while I'm sitting around all of you, like someone will touch me or something.
Yeah, that's your concern.
Yeah, they'll mess with me.
Let me get a little feel on the little chef while he's disappeared down the rabbit hole. The promo film was very clear to make points that you can still see the real world around you. If someone walks into the room, you'll be able to see them, interact with them. Like you say, it's augmenting over reality, so it's enhancing what you see. If you're not clear on this, it's basically like having a laptop in your eyes, so you can write emails, you can video, you can take photos with it, you can run through
and you select
photos
with your eyes is worth mentioning. So you essentially scroll using your eyes, which is the really weird part as well.
Yeah. I guess there's been this sort of technology around for a while, like Oculus Rift. The thing is, it's never seems to me very tangible until now. Not because suddenly I feel like it's not a stupid thing to sit there in goggles on your head, but because Apple are doing it. And you know when Apple do something, suddenly becomes more desirable.
Yeah, they don't miss.
You feel like they've thought it through a little bit more. Yeah. That promo video did that very well. Mm. It's thought through the reasons to have it, your fears perhaps about it, and it's aligned those fears, not by talking about those fears, but showing you the benefit. And by showing you that what you were scared about isn't a problem. I think we're living in an interesting moment in the next sort of like 2 years and past that.
You said it's more desirable and they've developed it more. I completely agree with the former. I don't know about the latter because I don't know how much Oculus was developed. But I think what this potentially exposes is like what a failure the metaverse has been until now, because what we first heard about that like a couple years ago and nothing's really happened. Like, is anyone actually in the metaverse? Even the arms dealers and pedophiles decided to go back to the dark net because they looked around and thought like, this is shit. Meta, for example, they're very good at like software, but nobody's ever been able to match Apple in terms of the actual hardware. Like, it's the same thing with, like, I'm perfectly willing to believe that, like, a Samsung or a Huawei phone does this better or does that better. Mm-hmm. But I'm also just not going to get one because I still want an Apple one, because they've always prioritized the aesthetics and the design and the style and embedding it into culture in a way that nobody else has been able to match.
I feel like their product launches have always been game-changing. So if you look at, like, iPods and how people consumed music, iPhones, the start of a really big smartphone era, which then hasn't really stopped. So it's probably like their next big step in terms of big product launch, because even that has been done before. maybe not to this scale.
They Google are the pioneers of new technology every time.
Every single time. But Google did it, didn't they?
You're talking about Google Glass. Completely different. It even looks entirely different. It's like your glasses, but with a little chip.
Chip, yeah.
That you can see through, like, what, one eye? But this is way more immersive.
Did you see Mark Zuckerberg is waxing lyrical about the Ray-Bans that they brought out, like, 3 years ago now, where it's a pair of Ray-Bans where you can record your life and take photos and all of it. I'm like, yeah, bye-bye that little dream, Mark. See you later. This is blown out of the water. But it's an interesting point that you've made about Facebook, because one thing that Apple has done is they have created the world in which Mark Zuckerberg has been so successful. Facebook would be nothing without smartphones, right? Is this not the next step for Meta? Is this not the hardware that is going to supply the software that Mark is developing and Meta is developing that is going to be the game changer to the metaverse?
Yeah, I don't think it's bad for them. It's not exactly going to spoil everything they'll be up to, but I think he would have much preferred it if he could have a complete stranglehold on the hardware and the software, because this isn't plunging you into the metaverse. This is kind of more something that you could imagine once they get smaller and lighter that you would use more every day while still living your actual life, because it's augmented reality rather than completely altering it. I think people still feel a little bit uncomfortable with the complete virtual reality. And also, I don't think VR is sophisticated enough yet to create a whole new world that's subjectively indistinguishable from the real world, whereas augmenting the world around you feels more futuristic and less novelty, I suppose.
The price point is crazy, though, on the actual launch press conference thing.
I don't think it's crazy. I've seen a lot of disparaging memes going on about the price point, but I'm like,
how much you want it to cost?
I feel like 4K.
$3,500.
I feel that's about right.
Yeah, and also bear in mind, like, when the first Mac laptop came out, it was exorbitantly expensive. And then slowly it gets more affordable.
A fucking iPhone's £1,200.
I'm not shocked by that. And it will become more readily available.
I think that's quite an accessible price point.
God, how brainwashed are we?
Well, no, I just think that, businesses will buy them. For instance, retail. If you go into a retail store and they've got these Apple Vision Pros, and then instead of going into the changing room, you can actually just sit there and look in the mirror and see loads of different clothes on you without the argy-bargy of going, blimey. I think once it gets out into the wider public and retail and different experiences, I can imagine it being used at festivals, people are just going to try it more. They're going to have a go with it and go, fucking hell, this is sick. I want mine.
Physically, though, they just look like giant ski goggles, and I can imagine they give you a bit of a headache. I'm assuming they're heavy.
This is the first one with the battery pack. I thought this was really clever, is outside of the headset. So, you keep it in your pocket, for example, which makes it a lot...
It's probably not as heavy, though.
But it's only, 2 hours battery life.
Yeah, but again...
And then you have to keep yourself plugged in at the wall.
Sure, but again, they'll get better.
If you are watching a film or something, then you do end up getting a bit fucked.
Yeah, if you want to go for a walk as well, you just plug in. But yeah, fair enough. I think they'll improve on that over time.
Yeah, I think there are so many exciting things that will spawn from this. I can think of loads of different exciting things in the industry that we work in where I'm like, there's so many different ideas that you can bring to life with this. They've highlighted what you can do with it. But the most exciting thing, again, going back to the iPhone, was when they opened up the App Store for just people to create apps. And that was a game-changing moment. Although, I've got a question for you, James.
Please.
So, I just want you to imagine...
No, I wouldn't.
Wouldn't you? I've got one for you to test, James. You're at home, you're alone. What are you going to do with it?
That did cross my mind earlier. Not about James, but I guess because people do that with gaming headsets, so they're probably going to do it with this, and it'll be way more immersive.
Of course, it'll be huge, augmenting reality.
It'd literally be huge, That was in the director's cut of the 10-minute video. Last thing I want to say on this, I'll tell you what I think is well clever that Oculus didn't do is they've revealed this now, but it doesn't come out for another year. And I think that's very intentional, because now that gives all app developers a year to think, okay, what can we do specifically for this? Whereas apparently people got bored of the Oculus because they brought it out and the novelty was fun, but then it sort of wore off and people were left wondering exactly what to do with it because there wasn't enough stuff being developed for it. Whereas with this, you'd imagine there'll already be a wealth of apps specifically for the Vision Pros by the time they come out.
That was Culture Cover. If you can think of a better name, please get in touch with us. James will give you an email address at the end, and there we go. James, what's your next story?
Oh, hang on. I've forgotten. Oh, yeah. So, Gina, this does involve football, which I know you don't care about.
I'll try and contribute.
She doesn't care about football or AI.
Exactly, but...
It's the two like, most spoken about things on this
But program. It also... We don't talk about football that much.
A fair bit.
Okay, yeah. It's football, but it also involves women, of which I've been reliably informed you are one.
I am.
This week, Nike...
She, her.
This week, Nike...
That's me.
Do you want me to fucking say the thing or not?
Yes! No, usually it happens by the end, but yeah. He's blown up early.
But you're just going, Bimit. I want to do other things. Gareth, you left me a voice note where you said, oh, we've got to stop talking over each other. I gave you four chances. Right, it's hot in here. This week, Nike gave the world a look at its new boot, which doesn't sound like a big deal, but it's their most innovative and researched women's-led boot in the company's history, having been designed specifically for the female foot.
Interesting. After watching Air, there's a bit in there where the shoe designer is talking about, like, feet and stuff. It's interesting to know how much science and technology goes into creating a shoe. It's not just a trainer. And especially the Air film, which was the 80s, he has like a whole lab. I don't know how accurate it is. So is even more interesting because they're developing that, right?
So I've got questions. I'm surprised that there aren't shoes already designed at somewhere like Nike for women. Is this the first...
That's what they're saying.
They just haven't cared though, right? The women's sports market has not been...
So you're telling me that the USA women's team won the World Cup wearing...
With Timberland boots on, yeah, correct.
No, there have been women's boots before, but this is their most innovative and researched. So it was 2 years worth of research gone into this.
Yeah, because there's a lot of, like, female injuries. Like, I think...
Plantar fasciitis.
My mum has that.
Wearing male boots, there's like 4 to 6 times more likelihood that a woman might like rupture
really?
Her ACL.
So the thing is, I looked at this.
So there's a lot of science like behind it.
I don't believe it. I don't believe there is science. I think it's smoke and mirrors because obviously the Women's World Cup is happening this year and they talk a lot about all this research. But actually, Gareth, I hope you don't mind me exposing you that you're a man who generally buys women's shoes. And I should point out they're women's trainers. He's not walking in stilettos.
He can if he wants to.
But and when I questioned it, you said, oh, there's no such thing as a men's shoe and a women's shoe. They're just shoes.
Yeah,
so clearly, the boffins at Nike disagree with you.
Yeah, no, but I don't think there is any difference when you're talking about trainers. And just for the listeners, I like colourways that are nice and bright and you get better colourways in women's trainers a lot of the time. But I would assume that when you're talking about a really technical shoe, that they would have done this by now. And to your point, Gina, you're saying that they have.
They have, yeah.
But we didn't do it properly. And to your point, Chris, now there's some money in it. We better hunker down and do a good job.
That's the cynical look at it, is that there's going to be an awful lot of attention on the Women's World Cup this summer. If now they can make this seem, as I think they have, that this is the only boot specifically for a female footballer, if they can suddenly then sell that to every female playing football, that's a lot of Yeezys.
I think you should maybe invest in a pair because you've got dainty little feet.
Do you play football? I do play football.
I do score lots of goals.
I don't really have dainty feet. I've got kind of Kentish tractor feet, actually. my little toes have disappeared. But I don't know,
Where have your little toes gone?
I don't know. They're just kind of
little
wearing
gone
away.
To market.
I run a lot and they wear away. But when I used to buy boots, it would be like the Nike Mercurial makes you faster, the Predator makes you a shot more powerful, the Tiempo gives you a better touch, which I'm pretty sure is all complete bollocks. I want to know exactly how this is better because it says they've done a load of trialing and stuff, but I'm not seeing the detail.
Well, there's new circular stud pattern near the toes that hits the perfect point for traction on the pitch.
Yeah, I've got to say, having worked with football boots, like, there is a lot of technology that goes into it, James. And to your point, I don't necessarily think that if you are really fast, that they will make you go any faster. Mm. But the technical nature of the boots will encourage your game to be as good as it can be if you're that sort of player.
I'm just not sure I buy that. I get there's a lot of technology in boots. So I'm just not sure how much they can really differentiate.
This isn't claiming to make these footballers.
No, I know. I'm drawing a parallel with that and saying I'm not sure how much of a difference it can make. But
I think in this case it would though, because it's like tighter around the ankles because women tend to have slimmer ankles.
True.
And they've applied bigger touch zones to the boots because women's feet tend to be slightly smaller and slimmer.
Hopefully it stems into more than just boots. So
yeah, they'll start putting research into other things specifically for women. Yeah, and also this encourages like women in sport, which is something that is quite big right
good.
Now.
That is good.
Yeah.
Chris, have you got a story for us this week?
I do. Are you a user of Reddit?
Yeah, I am.
Well, me and Gareth know a lot about Reddit.
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
Well, so I'm guessing you know about the blackout that's happened the last 48 hours.
Me and Gav don't know that much.
Okay, so I'll enlighten you. About 7,000 subreddits have decided to go black. because Reddit have decided to change their API pricing, which essentially is killing off loads of third-party apps. I don't know if you've been on Reddit the last couple of days.
When you say go black, what do you mean?
So subreddits have just gone fully private, so you cannot access them.
Okay.
So one I was searching for, like the Saints subreddit, it just doesn't exist at the moment.
So they've gone black and they haven't gone back then?
Well, so some of them will remain offline indefinitely until Reddit decides to either revise or withdraw this thing that they're doing. But yeah, you just cannot see some of the content at the moment.
And what are they trying to gain from doing that then?
It's just basically like a big fuck you to Reddit.
Okay.
Because Reddit is built off of like so many developers, so many moderators, so many publishers, that if they're removing those third-party apps that help them use Reddit and make Reddit a better place for everyone, then why would you use it?
And has it worked? Or any response from Reddit?
I don't know if it has worked, but one of the most popular third-party apps called Apollo, Christian Selig, who started it years ago, has said he's shutting it down at the end of this month. Because of this new rule, it will cost him about $20 million a year to continue operating his third-party app, which is free.
It's interesting. I really like Reddit. It's like a friendly mix of Twitter and Discord.
Yeah, I was going to say exactly the same thing.
And it's older than both of them, I believe.
Right.
Where you can really find out a lot about a subject that you really love, and people are doing a really good service on Reddit to find people that are into the same thing as you. It's quite a welcoming place. And I think there's always been something quite pure about Reddit.
Apart from all the incels on there.
Yeah, and all the naked ladies.
Oh, I haven't seen the naked lady. Oh, it's back to the Apple goggles. So I can understand why, if I were Reddit and I've always had quite a good relationship with my users, that I would think, yeah, this isn't looking good for business. Do you know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean. I'm a bit confused as to what exactly has happened, though. So it's essentially like the third-party apps and the sub. Is it like they've basically gone on strike?
Essentially, so Reddit is now trying to charge for API access.
Oh, I see. Bastards.
Which has always been free.
Me and James did a project on Reddit last year for a TV show, and we worked with the Reddit team to just help bring it to life in a way that wasn't against its community rules and all of that, and show up in the right way. And I did think at the time, how are you lot making your money, like Reddit itself? So I can understand them trying to flex to think, how do we make money out of this? Because they're servicing a lot of users on there. I understand there'll be an advertising model baked into it somewhere. But it's one of those difficult ones, isn't it, where you want to keep your community as it is. But to do that, you need to get paid.
You need to keep the lights on, otherwise the whole thing goes down. Yeah. It's not like the first time you've had things on social platforms go from free to then paid for. Elon Musk did it recently with the Twitter verification, didn't he?
Yeah,
you've got to pay whatever. But somehow they seem to dress up as if it was for a good reason and that users were still getting something out of it in return. Whereas with this, it sounds like they're just saying, you know that thing that was free? It's not anymore. So I can see how the users are pretty unhappy about that.
So you think the blackout's cool?
I think it serves its purpose. But the worrying thing is, because I use Reddit for news, to be honest, I don't really use Twitter, try to surf Instagram, don't have TikTok. So my social platform is Reddit. And if there are less mods in and around Reddit, then does that mean there'll be a rise of misinformation, rise of fake news, things like this? Reddit has always been quite a viable choice to hear from other peers, learn about new stuff.
You're standing strong with your Reddit brothers.
He's no scab, yeah.
I am with the strikers. But again, I don't actually know what is their revenue stream. Because it is free.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. They were trying to do a brand partnership with what me and James are doing. And we were like, I think we've got this. It's fine. And they were like, can we help? And I was like, there's really not too much you can help. Apart from, they say you're doing an AMA and ask me any question, they will help promote it at the right time. So you'll pay money for that to be at the top of people's pages if you're interested in said subject. But really beyond that, I can't see where the opportunity is for Reddit to really grow in terms of like content partnerships, which is why it's a good place, which is why it doesn't feel like a sellout when I'm on there, because it feels like it's the real deal. So I can understand the conundrum that they're in, but you know, I also agree with you standing strong with your bros.
His Reddit bros.
I'm just shocked he gets his news from Reddit. I've never heard of that.
I've never heard of anyone getting their news from Reddit. The only time that I go onto Reddit for news is when they're not saying something in a newspaper or in a news outlet and I want to get the truth behind it. And I know that's not the truth because it's just a load of hot air, but you can find out shit on Reddit. Certainly wouldn't be trusting it as my verified news.
No. This explains so much.
Chris is a big fan of UFOs. Gina, have you got something to bring this week?
And you might be surprised because it's actually AI related.
Holy
and you guys
schmoly.
All say I don't like AI, and I'm here to dispel that myth. because I don't normally, but in this case...
It's not that you don't like AI. You don't have to like AI, but you're not interested in AI.
I'm not really interested in it because it's all very samey, whereas this is something a bit different.
Okay, go on.
So basically, there's this Danish designer and he's unveiled a camera called Paragraphica, and it's a lensless camera, so it uses location data and AI to generate photos, but they're not actually photos.
Please explain.
You look through the viewfinder and using all the data around you, like the weather and the location and things like that, it comes up with a real-time description of where you are. So for example, the description could say something like, a midday photo taken at White City. The weather is partly cloudy and 27 degrees. The date is this. Nearby, there is a beach and a building. You read that, then you press the clicker and the photo is produced based on that. So all around the paragraph describing where you are. And it's quite interesting because the guy that created this said that it provides a deeper insight into the essence of the moment through perspective other than viewing something. So
it's another way of... completely fake image, or like based on the information that you've given it.
But what I like about
it's different from...
Because what I like about it is that it looks like a camera.
Yeah.
It's actually not a camera. So the whole idea is that you are taking a photo, but it's never ever going to be based on what you're viewing or going through a lens. And the actual design of it is based on this star-nosed mole, because moles dig underground where there's no light. And obviously this camera doesn't need light. So I thought that was quite interesting. So it looks like a camera with this like red spiky thing that looks like a nose and whiskers on the front. And that's my story.
So the camera picks up your geographical information and then will spurt out a generated image.
Yeah, yeah. Which I think is really cool. You guys don't think it's cool? It's quite quiet in here.
Gareth, you seem appalled by this story.
I just don't understand what's the difference between this really and say like Midjourney. Do you know what I mean?
Well, can Midjourney do like completely photorealistic stuff as well then?
Yeah, it can, yeah.
Okay, but then it's not that different.
This is on the go though, isn't it? It's a new way of capturing images other than using...
Like having my mobile phone in my pocket.
No,
yeah, but it's creating an alternate reality compared to the one that's around you.
It's not limited to visual perception alone, says the guy that...
So say, for example, like, because you often look to the world around you for some sort of creative inspiration, this almost gives another look at it because it will show things that aren't there and it'll pick up on, I guess, an AI's version of the most critical details of the environment that surrounds you and serve that up to you. Because the examples that he's got, some of the photos are really similar to the area where he actually is, and some of them are completely different. It generates these strange worlds, basically.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, it's no Apple goggles, is it? I don't think this is going to take off. I don't want to poo-poo the story, but I just don't see, in the world that we're living in, with so much technology which is being additive to our life, is this one that will be additive? It might be for nerds.
It's almost like, you know how film cameras are like back in? A stripped back version. There's all this technology to take these amazing photos, these big digital cameras. And it's almost like it's been stripped back for people like film cameras now. And this is almost a similar thing in terms of like, there's all these big developments within AI and they've stripped it back to something where all you're doing is you've got this little device and you're taking a photo.
Okay, could I say then, for instance, I'm at the pyramid stage, I'm at Glastonbury, it's 3:10, I'm watching...
You wouldn't say it, it picks it up itself.
But I'll be honest, I saw this story already and I thought it was quite good because I look at the titles and not the actual story. I saw something there where it said, it turns paragraphs into photos, and I thought, oh, that would be quite handy, because I was thinking about myself, and I was like, I'm shit at taking photographs, but I feel like if I could write a photograph, then it would be better. So I feel like this would be better if it wasn't just what was around you. If you could use it to like type the paragraph, the sentences yourself, to do that, I'm at the pyramid stage, Glastonbury,
well,
blah, blah, blah,
the
and then it would develop it. But
what you were just saying.
But as I was saying, I didn't know you could do that on Midjourney, so now I don't think this is very good.
This is good for that reason, though.
Midjourney literally sat there with Jaren. I was like, Jennifer Aniston and Angelina Jolie drunk in a bar having a fight.
But
and it can do it.
This does it for you. You don't need to type anything in.
But it can only do what's around you. Sorry, I'm out. I was waffling earlier to try to defend
really
it as well.
Like
it's
it.
Rubbish. It's
there's
rubbish.
There's something about it that I really like. I like how simple it is.
Right, why don't you try it? Why don't you try it? How much is it?
I don't know how much it is, actually.
I think you might be purchasing. Yeah, go on.
Someone buy me this, okay?
I don't know if you can buy it. I think it might just be like his little pet project.
I think it might be as well.
That's what I thought. It's just a little invention. Yeah
just, right.
Again, it's interesting.
Certainly doesn't have the looks.
It's a context to image camera. Yeah. That's what
it's nice for him.
Yeah. Well done. Well done.
Oh, that...
Well
done, Bjorn.
Normally my stories get decent.
Oh, really? What, like the big strawberry? Like big strawberry and the lost cat.
Strawberry and the lost cat.
Two classics.
You guys have knocked my confidence now.
Okay, so ending with Gina's confidence well and truly knocked. James, Three stories there. What's your favourite out of those three stories?
Oh, I think I'm going to have to go with the lady's feet.
Enough of that, Gina, though. What's your favourite story?
Oh, sorry. I'll get back up from under the table.
Just a bit, James. Soon.
What have we had? We had the angry Redditors, the paragraph camera, and the female football boots. Despite my scepticism, if indeed it is backed up and as necessary as you all seem to think it is, then I do think the idea that this is the first boot that's been developed for a female footballer is a bit mad. So I'd be ashamed not to go for that, even though I did bring it myself, which isn't really in the ethos.
All right, cool. James, where do people go and get the newsletter?
zacagency.com/cool-sht.
All right, if you want a better name than Culture Cover, please get in touch and we will see you in 2 weeks. 2 weeks' time.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye. Thanks.